Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. Yes, this is another day that the Lord has made. Today is Thursday, September the 14th, year 2017. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and Host, Brother James Brown, Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, every Saturday night and Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m. So I'm asking all my listeners, if you would please get your Bibles and get your papers and pens ready so you can follow along with the man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he gets ready to bring God's word. And as you all know that are familiar with him now, he comes forward with a poem. He's going to share a poem with us first, and then after his poem, then he's going to come back and he's going to deliver God's word on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners, get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so you can follow along with the man of God as he delivers God's word. Well, as we go into prayer, I'm asking all listeners if you would go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, we come once again to give your name praise. We come to give you glory. We come to give you honor because you are worthy to be praised, Heavenly Father. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We know that we are not worthy of it, and we don't deserve it, but we thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with me, and I also include my entire family from the oldest member to the youngest. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, and also Deacon Marvin Cox and his family, and all those that are tuned in and listening by way of internet or by way of telephone on tonight. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our prayers and your word would not be hindered on tonight, that it will accomplish everything that you set forth to do in the earth on tonight. We come praying and listen, Heavenly Father, even those that are listening right now who do not have a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, who are not saved in his name. It is our prayer, Heavenly Father, that they too would come to know Jesus Christ through your word on tonight, that they would yield and surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ and ask what must they do to be saved. And they will be saved in his name on tonight. And then once they're saved, they will come to know their God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up the sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. We pray for all those that have been affected by Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Harvey, and the other hurricanes and all the wildfires that's over all in the West Coast. Everything that's going on in the world that you told us that was going to happen in your word, we're seeing that these things are coming to pass. So that lets us know that your word is true. You cannot fail. You cannot lie. You cannot change. So we just thank you for who you are. You are in total control at all times. So we just thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, you will move by your spirit through this broadcast. Have your way that you would be glorified through it all. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said amen. Well, now tonight we have another spiritual food for thought. And our spiritual food for thought for tonight, it comes to a saying, and this is a spiritual food for thought, and it's something that is coming asking a question to all of us, even including myself. Tonight's spiritual food for thought says, are you truly listening, trusting, and obeying God? That's a personal question. Again, that's our spiritual food for thought for tonight. Are you truly listening? Are you truly trusting? And are you truly obeying God? That is our spiritual food for thought for tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassadors-vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at @James_Brown or on Facebook. So that is my spiritual food for tonight, and I pray that someone has been touched by that spiritual food for thought, that you would give you something to think about, and you would know if you are truly listening to God, are you really trusting God, and are you really obeying God? So, again, this is a personal question for each and every last one of us on tonight. Well, in the form of the announcement, I only have two, and the first one is I am so excited to announce that the Lord has placed it in my younger sister's, Danetta Burney's spirit, to complete a gospel stage play entitled Opposite Ends of the Bridge. Well, as those of you that have been listening earlier during the year, it was supposed to have taken place the day before Mother's Day and then on Mother's Day at a different location, but it was postponed. But we have a new date now, and it's at a larger location. And the new date is November the 11th, Saturday, November the 11th, will be Opposite Ends of the Bridge. It's a gospel stage play presented by my younger sister, Danetta Burney. Some of the cast members are well-known evangelist, songstress, Peggy James, minister, musical artist, Gerard Brooks, also Pastor Ron Todd. These are some of the cast members that are part of this play that is going to be taking place on Saturday, November the 11th at Impact Church. The address is 12844 Elmdale Street, which is in Detroit, Michigan, on the east side of Detroit. For all of you that are in the Detroit, Michigan area, they would like to witness this great play that the Lord has anointed my sisters right. It's going to mend and bring back families together, marriages, even churches and communities, even nations, through this play are going to be mended and brought back together, first to God and then to one another in love and in harmony, that God will be glorified through this play. And also my final announcement, I am so pleased that God has anointed me and using me to enabled me to open the door for other people to come on and have their own shows up under me. We have Vidira, Prophetess Vidira Hayward. Her show comes on every fourth Saturday. Vidira Hayward, every fourth Saturday. Her title of her show is titled Releasing the Sounds. Every fourth Saturday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Then every first Thursday night and every third Thursday night, we have Pastor Jose Dorsey. His show title is Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. Again, he comes on every first and every third Thursday. It's from 6:30 to 7 p.m. And we also have Dr. Patricia Heisman is getting ready to come forth with her show So we don't have her date yet and her time, but as soon as we get that, we will be passing it on to the listeners. And I'm asking all listeners, if you can, if you have time during the week or when these other guests or hosts are on their shows, if you can tune in and be blessed by the word through these vessels of God. So those are the announcements that I have for right now. And right now, before Deacon Marvin Cox, I want to call him minister, well, he is a man of God. So, again, the Lord has blessed him with such a powerful anointing. He's going to share a poem titled Wait. And then after his conclusion of his poem, he's going to come back and he's going to share with us God's word on tonight. But before he do that, we're going to do our musical break. And I am going to go into the other room right now, and I'm going to do a musical selection on the organ. Then we're going to come back. And I'm going to yield to Deacon Marvin Cox, where he can bring forth his poem. He can share his poem, and then he's going to bring forth God's word on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners, if you will please enjoy this musical selection, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, because we're living in a time that we need the Lord to truly do not pass us by. Enjoy this musical selection. Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord on tonight. That was Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. I pray that the Lord, that someone was blessed by that gospel hymn on tonight. So right now, I'm so excited to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox again. He's going to share his poem first, and then right after his poem, he's going to go directly into the word. So Deacon Marvin Cox, I am yielding the mic to you at this time. Continue to be blessed of the Lord.
Amen. Once again, I give unto my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, to God, my Father, unto Brother Brown, unto all of my Father's children. It is indeed a privilege to come before you tonight, bring the forth of God's word. The poem that the Lord gave me to share with people tonight is a poem that probably would hit close to home. And I don't try to prophesy it or anything like that. I just try to, as people say, stay in my lane. But I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do tonight, because there are a lot of people who have requested things from the Lord and who have been seem like they've been waiting for a long time for the Lord to bless them with the things that they stand in need of. But tonight, the Lord has one simple word for those who are standing in need, for those who think that the Lord has left them out or has forgotten about them. And that's a word of encouragement, because when someone tells you to wait, then you know that they're thinking about you. They just haven't got to you yet. And that's the title of tonight's poem. And if it applies to you, then you will surely be blessed. Wait. Desperately, helplessly, longingly, I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly, he replied. I pled and I wept for a clue to my fate. And the master so gently said, child, you must wait. Wait? You said wait? My indignant reply, Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened against me, or have you not heard? By faith I have asked, and I'm claiming your word. My future, into which all I can relate, hangs in the balance, and you tell me to wait. I'm needing a yes, a go-ahead sign, or even a no, to which I can resign. And Lord, you have promised that if we believe, we need but to ask, and we shall receive. And Lord, I've been asking, and this is my cry. I'm weary of asking. I need a reply. Then quietly, softly, I learned of my fate as my master replied once again, child, you must wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated and taut, and I grumbled to God, so I'm waiting for what? He seemed to kneel, and his eyes met with mine, and he tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens, I could darken the sun, I could raise the dead or cause the mountains to run. All you seek I could give, and pleased you would be. You would have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You would not know the depth of my love for each saint. You would not know the power that I give to the faint. You would not learn to see through clouds of despair. You would not learn to trust just by knowing I'm there. You would not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence was all you could see. You would never experience that fullness of love as the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You would not know that I give and I save for a start, but you not know the depth of the beat of my heart. The glow of my comfort late in the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight, the depth that's beyond getting just what you ask from an infinite God who makes what you have last. And you never would know, should your pain quickly flee, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dreams for that loved one overnight could come true, but the loss if you've lost what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, and in time will you see that the greatest of gifts is to get to know me. And oft, though my answers seem terribly late, my most precious answer of all is still wait. Amen. I will just now go into the lesson for tonight. And our lesson tonight is coming from the book of, it's coming from Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse, out of the book of St. James. And it reads, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's what the scripture coming from in our topic or our lesson tonight from a teaching capacity is the power of speech. Now, in times past, the Lord has instructed me to give you a history of the word before it's been brought forth, and that's to read the verses before the scripture and also to read a few verses after. But tonight's lesson is basically self-explanatory. And we're talking about the power of speech. It says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. My brothers and my sisters, tonight's lesson is letting us know that we have to be careful of what we say. We have to use correct speech in order to articulate to our brothers and our sisters what thus saith the Lord. Now, we all know that the tongue is probably one of the smallest members of your body. But that tongue, it causes more trouble than anything that you could ever shake a stick at. Why? Because we have not learned how to control our tongue. And getting right with the lesson, say, death and life are brought upon a man by the good or bad use of his tongue. So we're supposed to use this tongue that the Lord gave us to edify the church, to uplift our brothers and our sisters, to praise the Lord. We're not supposed to use our tongue to tear down people or to bring slander against them. For we know over in Exodus, in the 20th chapter, one of the commandments is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So to break that down, we're not supposed to slander our neighbor. We're not supposed to say untruthful things about our neighbor. We're not supposed to cause our neighbor's heart to hurt or him to grieve because of the things that we have said about him, which takes me back to when I was a child. Now, it hurted me to find this out when I got instructions from my parents. And it was a saying that is probably popular with you guys too, and that is that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, I was disillusioned when I found out that that statement was not quite so true, because words can hurt. Words can kill. Words can dislodge you. Words can bring down your spirit. And the following statements that they made to me was also against God's word. They say, well, as long as somebody don't put their hands on you, they can say whatever it is that they want to say. Well, I disagree with that. And then they went so far as to say, if somebody pick up a stick or somebody bother you, you pick up a stick and you go to town on them. Well, parents, I'm sorry to say that God's word says, someone smite thee on the cheek, turn thee the other cheek. So this is in direct contradiction of our well-meaning parents who told us, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words. So we're going right away into the power of speech. And with tonight's lesson, with the theme of Brother Brown, are you a liability or are you an asset? We know that life is always a liability. We know that good speech and good character is always an asset. We use words to communicate one with the other. We use words in order to transfer the pictures of our mind into thought. But when we begin to tear down people and put them down and make them feel that they are not worthy to be in our company, we're speaking death. And we should know by now that there is a consequence. There's a great consequence for speaking life. And they say they shall eat the fruit thereof. So I am not to get carried away with putting people down, because there are many in the church who will hide behind the word of God and tell someone something that they really wanted to say, but they would blame it on God. They say, God told me to tell you. Now, a better way of putting that is to say the scripture says we have to move ourselves completely out of the way when it comes down to bringing forth God's word. Because if God told me to tell you this, then why would the next word out of my mouth or the words 2 minutes ago out of my mouth was lying and blaspheming and things like that? God do not operate like that. If I am to bring a chastening to anyone, it should be with the words of God and not what I think about how their conduct is. I should always refer to God first. Well, God's word said. God's word said this. God's word said that. So we must effectively move ourselves out of the way because the power of speech. When we're in a crowd, we've got to be careful because there could be someone listening, someone that we not think is not paying us any attention. It said, because the tongue is an exponent of the heart. Be careful of what you say. Because speech is the most powerful tool that we have as far as our communication is concerned. Now, there's a proverb, an ancient Chinese proverb that says that you are the master of the unspoken word. And once it's out, you become the prisoner. How many times have we put out a word and we became the prisoner, or we promised to do something for somebody and then something unexpected came up and they wanted to hold us to our word, but we're not able to do that. But we became prisoners of our word. But why? Because we promised. And our word is our bond. So if it's not so, God's word is saying, don't speak it. We have to learn through the word of God how to bridle our tongues. We must learn that idle chatter is not good because it said that those that love the fruit thereof will eat of that fruit. So under no terms am I supposed to allow myself to get carried away with my ability to speak, with my ability to translate things, because God's word said that we'll be stuffed up in pride. Now moving right along, by our words we are justified, and also by our words we are condemned. And we're justified by our words whenever we say something and we stay true to that word. If I tell you that I'm going to come by there on Friday, and I come by there on Friday, then by my words, I am justified. If I begin to slander and put people down and speak these foolish things to them and against them, God's word is letting me know that I will be condemned by my word. If I use words of condemnation against my neighbor, then I'm heaping hot coals upon my head. So my brothers and my sisters, the power of speech should not be abused. Everything that comes out of my mouth should be justified, excuse me, by the word of God. Everything, every thought that I think should be justified. But once again, that tongue, that member, that poison that's in my mouth, that tongue, I got to bridle that tongue. Because if you notice, a ship cannot go anywhere. It will lose its direction without its rudder. One little bitty match can set a whole forest on fire. What comes out of the mouth can defile the body. So we've got to tame that tongue, and it's numerous. It's a multiplicity of verses and scriptures in the Bible, which tells us how to tame our tongue. Because speech is the picture. It's bringing forth a picture of your mind, what you think. So says, what so thinketh the man in his heart, then so is he. So those things that we verbalize, those things that inadvertently sometimes come out of our mouth and we say to ourselves, where did that come from? We got to be careful. If you notice, whenever someone was speaking to the Lord, occasionally he would pause and give a very thoughtful answer. Sometimes he would not even say anything, because sometimes silence is golden. But whatever words came out of his mouth, and it says in his word that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we know that this is good, righteous, spiritual speech that is a balm to our soul, that is a benefit to our soul. So it's time to put a bridle. It's time to put a governor. It's time to shackle. It's time to put those foul words that we've been using in bondage, because those are a reflection of us and our personality. It's time to start using words of life. It's time to start encouraging. We know that, and also in Exodus, the 20th chapter, it says that thou should not kill. We know that 18th chapter of Proverbs, the 21st verse, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So if death and life, and I'm holding this much power within my grasp, and God's word says thou shalt not kill, you can kill someone without taking their life. You can kill someone's spirit. Someone can enthusiastically come to you and ask what your opinion is about this, or what do you think about that, or should I do this, or should I do that? And we could turn them away with a frown, say, because we preoccupied with something else, and say, look, I don't have time for that. Don't bother me with that junk. So whether we know it or not, we killed that individual spirit. We're supposed to speak life. If anything, we just say, look, you know, I don't have time for that right now, but I would love to sit down and talk to you about that as soon as I take care of this. Then that way you have given them hope. You have given them enthusiasm. You have not dismissed them. We're not supposed to dismiss people in that type of a way, which we as Christians sometimes, you know, whether we're feeling more holier than thou, someone who we think, and if you do as I said, who we think, come and inquire about the word of God, and we doubt the sincerity of their questions, and we say, oh, you don't want to know. God's word said that we got to be careful how we entertain a stranger, because it might be an angel of the Lord, unaware. So who am I to judge because of an expression on an individual's face? Or who am I to judge because of an individual's background? Or who am I to judge because of the way somebody smelled or the way somebody looked, that they're not sincere about learning and embracing the word of God? I'm not supposed to put myself into a position where I've scattered God's sheep. So when they come, I'm not supposed to turn them away. I'm not supposed to put them down and say, how you going to tell me this, or how you going to tell me that? And there are many examples where, as Christians, we may come across an individual who is down on their luck, or who is destitute, or as the man that was sitting at the gate of Beautiful, who was begging for alms for the child of misfortune. And on our way into the store, they may have said, can you spare a dollar for a cup of coffee? So, okay, wait till I get out. Okay, that's line number one. And then on the way out, say, I'm not going to give you money. You better get yourself a job. Now, we don't know what circumstances a person may be out there. You say, look, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give this $1. Now, I got $1,000 in my pocket. I'm going to give you this $1. In the name of the Lord, And I pray that you do with it what you say you're going to do with it. Now, those are uplifting words right there. If I say, no, I ain't going to give you my money, shoot, I worked hard for mine. Didn't nobody give me nothing. That's another lie. We have to be careful not to be like that, like the rich man who Lazarus sat at his table and he threw the crumbs to him. We're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to predetermine about anybody, not to, supposed to form that opinion regardless of what it is that, as I say, our conception or our perception of them are. So the power of the speech, it can give life and it could give death. And those that eat the fruit thereof. My brothers and my sisters, let's not get carried away with speech. Let us not get carried away with being that righteous individual in our own mind, which we think that we are giving people incentive to search for the Lord, when really what we're doing is we're driving them away. We've got to be careful of how we talk and how we address people. And God's word is constantly telling us about the incredible power of the tongue. We can use our tongue to bring blessings and life, or we could use our tongue to bring curses and death. We notice in God's word, he was saying to us, we're going to talk about the life first. It said verbal prayer from a righteous man, fervent verbal prayer from a righteous man, avail as much. So when I solicit God, when I petition God and to bless those, so I could bring blessings, I could bring life and blessings. Just by sometimes saying good morning to someone who might have had a rough night. Just by smiling. And see, sometimes our nonverbal communication is just as important as our verbal communication. When someone comes into the house of prayer and we greet them and we smile at them and we welcome them without saying a word, some people will say, this is the place that I need to be. I mean, you could extend hospitality sometimes without speaking the word, but our friendly gestures. Hey, come on up here. You could say, come on up here, because it might be a crowd, the preacher might be praying, but you could wave someone up or you could tell them, just a minute. So there are ways of verbal speech and there's nonverbal speech. And people will pick up on it, which is very important also. I call it our body language, our posture. All of these things have a lot to do with the way that we communicate with people. We cannot allow ourselves to be slanderous in our presentation. And we're going to move over here to 2 Peter, right? I mean, 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 10th verse. And it reads, and it says, tell us, whoever loves life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. So over here in Peter is telling us, each and every last one of us, that we have a spiritual obligation to keep our tongue from evil and our lips from deceitful speech. I'm not supposed to think ill of anybody because God is the judge of us all. I'm not supposed to allow evil speech or deceitful speech to come from my lips. I'm not supposed to allow these words, these supposed to be promises, to come out of my mouth and have someone believing that what I say is true, because whether we know it or not, each and every last one of us have a certain amount of influence on people that we know very little bit about. There are people that, even that there might be some listeners out there tonight that may be influenced by what the Word of God is saying. But sometimes we look to those people, we look at to individuals, and we follow individuals, but think it was Brother Paul who said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if I could utter the same words, I would say, follow me as I follow Christ. Because why? He will lead and he will guide you unto all truth. So if I'm a follower and a seeker of the truth, I invite you, not for my sake, but for your sake, to come along, to follow. Lord says in his word, follow me. Not follow that preacher, but we need the preachers and we need the teachers and we need the evangelists and the deacons and all the way down, the popes, the saints, the bishops, and all of those who have a position in the name of the Lord. We need them all to speak to us, to tell us about God's word, to use good spiritual speech, for them to not only speak God's word, but to live it, for us not to be a living contradiction of what the word says, for us not to be, and I know this might not necessarily be a word, but I use it frequently, for us not to be a hypocrite, to say one thing and do another. We know that's a hypocrite, but I call it a hypocrite because I'm speaking with my mouth what is far from my heart. In other words, do as I say and not do as I do. Now, this is a confusing and it's a conflicting thing because when we have our children and our grandchildren, those people that look up to us and those people that we are in authority or we're in charge over on our jobs, our co-workers, all of these people that we are, as I said, we contradicting ourselves. Those people that look up to us, those people that secretly admire us, we got to be careful because that speech, the power of speech, we don't really know the magnitude of the power of speech. Now, moving right along, we know over here in Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 9th verse, it speaks about gossip. We got to be careful because gossip is a part of speech. Gossip is something that you don't know it directly, but we heard it from a reliable source, and then we pass it on to someone else. And I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says about that. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Now, my brothers and my sisters say they cover over. Didn't say that they dismiss it, but my brother's supposed to cover me. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, lets us know that if your brother is overcome in a fault, then we're supposed to restore them gently. It's not that we've been pardoned, or if we different gave, but it says cover over. And when you cover over something, you hide that from other people. If I know that my brother, I'm supposed to be able to keep my brother's secret without allowing it to go out there and penalize him. It says, and whoever repeats these matters, whoever repeats this matter, they separate close friends. And how many times have that, basically we're talking about that he said, she said stuff. Now, how many times in our life have we got things from a second hand and then we went and we confronted that individual who we thought offended us and we had a close tie to that individual, but because of what we heard that they said, that somebody else said that they said, then it became a burden upon us and it began to tarnish the friendship that we thought we had. Once again, we are the masters of the unspoken word. Once it's out, you become the prisoner. So I don't want to be the prisoner of somebody else's word. Some things, you know, said that we have itching ears. I should not allow myself to be the recipient, or sometimes it's hard not to listen to people, but I should not allow myself to be the transmitter for somebody else's foolishness. Because one day we had this little experiment in the church, and the person in the first row, it was something whispered in their ear, and they was told to repeat what was told to them to their neighbor. And their neighbor repeated to their neighbor, and their neighbor repeated to their neighbor. And so it went all, and everyone in the church, it was whispered in their ear what was said. And then the last person it came that it was whispered to, we said, okay, brother so-and-so, what was said to you? And do you know that whatever it was said, it was totally and it was completely unrecognizable, because we wrote it down. And by the time it got all around and circulated, it was unrecognizable. Now, just think about all that damage that was done. We had a very, very good and loud laugh about that. Because one thing about it, it could never be told again the same way. And it was a phrase, I think it only consisted of less than 10 words. But by the time it got everybody put their own personal spin on it, as I said, it become totally and completely unrecognizable. So God's word is letting us know about the speech of gossip. We're not supposed to allow ourselves to pass these things along. You know, and we always say, well, I got it from a credible source. I got it from a reliable source. But was that source the source of where it came from? Because we can all witness the same thing. We can all read the same thing. But we all will have possibly a different interpretation of that which we read, of that which we seen. Don't believe me? Go to a courtroom. You got five witnesses witness the same thing, and each one of them got a different story to tell, because they're going to put their own spin on it. God's word is letting us know we're not supposed to eat the fruit thereof, because it's a consequence for bringing things out. It's a consequence for saying slanderous things and not edifying the church, not uplifting God, not praising the Lord. Too many things, too many times that we could be uplifting the Lord when we think about tearing somebody down and tearing them down, not brick by brick, but with our speech, with our feelings about that individual. It's time for us to keep those personal feelings aside. It's time for us to speak like Moses spoke and said, well, thus saith the Lord. Because I believe over there in Exodus, when Moses repeatedly went to Pharaoh and he instructed him. He said, let my people go. God said, thus said the Lord, let my people go. And Pharaoh's heart was beginning, not only beginning, but God allowed his heart to wax cold. And there was a few things that he said in there that in the end, it came back as far as by my words or something similar to that. Whereas the words that he spoke, so shall it be said, so shall it be done. So, or it is written. So we have to be careful, because we will, and we have that ability to heap hot coals upon our own head when we misquote the scriptures, when we take the scriptures out of context and use them for our own personal and our own selfish benefit. My brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to be careful with our speech, because that tongue is out of control. You don't believe me? Look at our politics of the day. People are bringing forth inconsequential speech. They're bringing about the untruth. They're speaking things that is not so. And there are people that are following it. And I'm not bashing anything or anyone. I'm just speaking the truth to you today. There are so many instances where something did not happen the way somebody else said that it happened. But then, if I believe it, as I say, those people that look up to me, those people that I have authority over, I can say, if I say it, then my household will say it. My household will repeat it. My household will embrace it. Because there was this gentleman one time. His friend, you know, him and his friend, his so-called friend, they had a squabble. And every time that friend would call, that father would tell one of his kids, well, he would ask them to lie for him. He would say, tell him I'm not home. Tell him I'm not home. So the friend had borrowed some money from him, and the friend was leaving town. So the friend called over to the house, and one of the children answered the phone, and they were looking right at their dad and said, my dad is not here. So after the child hung up the phone, the father asked the kid, he said, who was that? He said, it was your buddy Joseph. Oh, that was Joseph. Why didn't you let me speak to him? He owed me some money. He probably was going to tell me where I could pick up my money because he's leaving town. Why didn't you tell him that I was here? Well, Dad, every time he calls, you say that tell him that you're not here. So I'm just saying that to say that those lies that we put out there, people that look up to us, they will embrace those lies. They will use those and claim those lies as their own. We'll bring death to those. We could bring death to ourselves and others just through the way we talk. We could bring life and blessings to those who we speak for in the name of the Lord. So my brothers and my sisters, the power of speech is a powerful thing. We have to learn how to utilize it in the name of God. Words are a weapon, but we could use words for healing. We could use words for encouragement. We could use words for enlightenment. We could use words for encouragement. We could use words for so many positive things. But also, on the other hand, we could use words to condemn. We could use words to put down. We could use words to slander, to libel, to do all of these things to assassinate an individual's character. We could start a rumor against somebody. And next thing you know, we have tarnished that individual's reputation. And that goes back to gossip. We don't know how us repeating something to somebody else who's going to pass it on to somebody else, we don't have no idea of no concept of what type of damage that it would bring, no type of confusion that it would bring, no type of separation that it would bring. So my brothers and my sisters, as I was saying, this particular scripture is basically self-explanatory. It just tells everyone who has the ability to communicate that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Watch what you say. Choose your words wisely. Be careful of how you express yourself. Now, that tongue is hard to tame. As I say, it's probably hundreds, which I don't have time to go over all of them, but it's hundreds of scriptures in the Bible telling you about the tongue, telling you about speech, telling you how to tame the tongue, how to not to trust the tongue, how the tongue can defile the body, But my brothers and my sisters, it's a way out. We allow God to take over. We just take, instead of blurting things out, take that extra second to be thoughtful in our words, to be careful in our speech. Then I'm more than sure that our speech in the name of the Lord, even though we know this is probably one of the biggest problems that we have, God said that his spirit will not thrive with men at all times. So during those times that God's spirit is absent from our body, or it's not dwelling within our body, when we are in our moral flesh, the time when we go to hanging out with our buddies and they speaking foul things and they telling filthy jokes and this and that and the other, we're not even supposed to allow ourselves to entertain when they speaking filthy jokes. Because God's word said that if we find pleasure, we don't have to do those things. But over in Romans 1 and 32, it said we find pleasure in those people that do those things. We're worthy of death. I mean, any of those things that they mentioned over there in Romans 1 and 32. But I'm just going to condense it and say that we're not supposed to get no type of pleasure in somebody telling an evil or a filthy joke or articulating in that way. Not supposed to get no type of pleasure. Why? Because that's against God. So, my brothers and my sisters, tonight's word is the power of speech. There's life and death in the tongue. Death and life are in the power, not the tongue itself, but the power of the tongue. So we got to turn control of our tongue back over into the hands of the Lord and ask him to give us the word to say. I know it's been many times that a prayer has been implemented and people didn't know what to say, but say, Lord, I don't know what to say, but I know you know what to say. We was instructed, open your mouth and the Lord will speak for you. But first we must allow him to speak. I can't speak for myself. The Lord has been speaking for me all of these years. So I'd just like to leave you with that thought tonight, that death and life are in the power of the tongue and those that eat thereof. We talk about the power of speech. So ask the Lord this evening to guide your tongue. Amen. And I'll turn you over back into the hands of Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. What a powerful, awesome word on tonight. The power of speech. And I like the way you broke that down because it is so true. And sometimes it's not always about what we say out of our mouths, but about our actions. Sometimes it's the way of our attitudes. We can have nasty, ugly attitudes that do not reflect Jesus Christ. That is a form of speech. That's a form of speaking, like you said, body language. It says a whole lot without you opening your mouth. And people do pay attention and they are alert. So what we want to do as Christians, we want to be more like Jesus Christ. Even though he was humiliated, even though he was lied on and scandalized, and even though he was falsely accused of things that he did not do, even when he ran across people that were sinful people, men and women, he did not accuse them. He did not throw things in their face. He told them, you know, you are healed or whatever the case may be. He said, go and sin no more. So we got to be more like Jesus Christ. Show love and compassion for all people. Don't try to judge nobody. Control, you know, we have to learn how to control our tongue. And we can't do it of ourselves. We have to have the Lord to hold our tongue for us. So we have to pray and ask the Lord, because I know I have to do all the time. Lord, guide my tongue so that I won't say the wrong thing, because it's so easy to do.
Amen.
So on tonight, we just thank God for you for the powerful word on tonight, the power of speech and the power of life and death. It is in the tongue, even though it's a small member. That's God's word. So I thank God for you, Dick and Marvin Cox. Continue to stand on God's word and continue to teach and preach God's word. You ain't seen nothing yet. God has so much more for you to do. Thank you for the poem. Wait on the Lord. Continue to write the inspirational poems that people can be edified and encouraged and uplifted through your poems as God continue to bless you to do those things as well. So we thank God for you tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox. And all the listeners, I thank God for you. I don't take you all lightly or for granted. I appreciate each and every last one of you. And I ask that you continue to pass the word about this show every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Let your family members and church members and co-workers and neighbors, even your enemies, let them know about it. They can be blessed by the word as well. So we just thank God for this worldwide platform that he's blessed us with on tonight. He blessed us with on tonight. So we just thank God for who he is. And as we get ready to close out tonight's program, we close out in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus Christ, we come again and say thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your loving kindness toward each one of us. Even though we know we're not worthy of it and we don't deserve it, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in total control. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're not like man. You don't have to watch your tongue because you say what you mean and you mean exactly what you say. And you change is not. So we just thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing the men and women that come forth over this worldwide platform to go over your word and go through your word so that each listener could be built up and strengthened and edified and blessed by your word. So we just thank you for your word on tonight. We just bless your name, Heavenly Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise because you are truly worthy to be praised. There is none like you in all the earth. We just bless your name on tonight. And for this, we are so grateful to be able to be your servants, your ambassadors, your vessels, to be your mouthpiece in the earth because you said greater works we do. Because your son, Jesus Christ, is now sitting at your right hand making intercession for the saints of God. And through your Holy Spirit, that live in us, who are saved in Jesus' name. We thank you for using us. And it's my prayer, Lord, that you continue to bless me and continue to strengthen me and use me. It's a personal prayer for me that you continue to use me for your glory because I know that you're not through with me yet. Not only me, but those that are being faithful doers of your word all over the land. You're not through with us yet. Continue to have your way in all of our lives that you be glorified. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said amen. Well, on tonight, amen. Know that I love you. God loves you even more. Remember this song, Worth Living. Jesus Christ thought our life was so much worth living that he came down and he died for us. Worth living. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.